Algar Productions.
This is the Post-Atomic Horror, the most comprehensive Star Trek podcast ever produced. Your hosts are Ron Algar Watt and Maggie Robotham. Episode 501, All the World's a Stage, and Crossroads.
Hi, friends. Welcome to the Post-Atomic Horror. I'm Al.
I'm Maggie.
And we're here for two more Prodigy episodes. I almost said Lower Decks. We are not here for Lower Decks.
No, we are not here for Lower Decks. And thank you, sweet baby Jesus.
Yeah, we finished it. It's done. It can't hurt us anymore. Although, couple of points I have this week relate to that show. It's probably why I have it on my tongue, but bleh.
It might could still hurt us. Like,
yeah, I guess so.
I'm going to wake up in the middle of the night and Mariner kicking my door down to scream at me about something.
Well, just screaming and screaming, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Wake up in the middle of the night going, Moopsie!
Mm-hmm.
Wait, no, that's just
a real
Tilo.
Threat in your house. Yeah.
Yeah, that's just Tilo. Tilo loves Moopsie, loves Murph.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll get to it, but try to remind me. There have been developments with Murph, and Tilo's not a fan.
No, same.
Yeah, same. But we'll get to that. First, we should talk about All the World's a Stage, which I think I said
All
last
the World's
week
a Stage
is a very original series title, and so it is. Take it away.
All right. So, not being able to contact the Federation, the Protostar kids resolve to instead fly around the universe performing good deeds, hoping that each leap will be the leap that takes them home. So, in this case, they answer a Starfleet distress call and find a planet of original series cosplayers. These are the Enterpriseans, a village of aliens that were visited by the Enterprise 100 years ago. Apparently, it left behind a lone ensign who taught the villagers the ways of Starfleet and then died. And because the planet was full of nerds, they started dressing like TOS-era officers and performing Trek in the Park plays, all of which I completely love and respect. I have literally been there, you guys. Unfortunately, it's not all trivia contests, fan fiction readings, and after-hour orgies in the motel by the convention center. There's an evil black disease infecting the villagers. And also Dal, so we can have some personal stakes. I mean, not personal for me. Dal's been growing on me like a black itching rash on his back face and hands. But I'd still rather that he die here than make me look at his stupid rat tail again. Gwyn, Jenkinpop, and Rock Talk go into the forest to search for the monstrous Gallows, a fire-breathing dragon with glowing eyes. God, I said to nobody in particular, I hope it's Val from the Apple. But, alas, it's actually a crashed shuttle from the Enterprise. The Galileo, actually, and since this isn't a sequel to that episode, it just means the ship crashed twice. Mentions of whether or not funerals were held for any of the crew does not come up. Anyway, the Galileo has been leaking plasma into the water supply, causing people to get sick. Using this information, Zero develops a cure, and then they, Dal, and some of the Enterprisians save Gwyn, Rock, and Jenkinpog in a holographic recreation of a 60s-era starship bridge, because dreams can come true, you beautiful alien nerds. The day is saved. The Protostar kids drop off some of their more modern Trek era stuff so that the aliens can finally watch Next Gen. You can skip season one, says Hologram Janeway. And the Protostar heads off on another adventure. Also, Murph is in a cocoon now. He's undergoing metamorphosis.
I said this before we started, but fuck the entirety of you for metamorphosis.
I was so pleased with that.
Total eclipse of fuck you, Maggie.
Oh, gosh.
So, you said you hope that it was Val to no one in particular. I see in your notes, you're just writing in bigger and bigger font, Val, Val, Val,
Val, like Val, Val.
You were trying to manifest that shit.
Yep. I got that they were doing, like, in my head, I was like, oh, this is a sequel to an original series episode. And then I was trying to figure out which one.
Not really. No, what it is. Go ahead.
They do use a ensign who was on the original series, but like...
Yeah, this ties to my good thing.
Mm.
Like, who they use is Ensign Garavik, who was named ensign in a few important episodes. And what the creator said, I saw this in Memory Alpha, it really felt like this guy had an arc, and then they just dropped him. And so they're like, what happened to him? Why don't we show what happened to him? So they put him on the Galileo and crashed him here. And like, that's cool. It's not a bad way to pick up. Like, what I like is those continuity threads that aren't the same shit we've always seen. We say this
exactly
over and over again, but I remember Garavik. I don't remember what his deal was, but I remember his existence. So, yep. You know, it's good.
No, I was very pleased.
I'm still a little confused, and I'm not going to harp on this because, you know, I don't care that much, but I know some of the writers do. Where are we? Like, we were in the Delta Quadrant, like in the far-flung reaches of where Voyager was stranded. Now I know we got that jump drive, but still, we're somewhere where the original series could get to? Like,
yes. I was thinking about that, too.
It feels like they should have only touched, like, a small portion of the Alpha Quadrant. And you know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
Oh, no, I do, yeah.
I don't care, really. But, again, I'm sure someone's paying attention to this stuff. And, like, I don't know.
I think they're really just bopping around everywhere at this point. Like, which is weird, because when we started, I assumed it was going to be set entirely in the Delta Quadrant again.
Same. But they have this magic drive, and that's fine, except the Dauntless is nearby and chasing them. So that means those guys don't have that drive.
Yeah.
So they have to be somewhere in Federation space, right?
Well, it's got to be a very fast ship, because it doesn't have any Daunt whatsoever. So, like,
that's true. They got rid of all, like, they worked that all out in the testing.
Well, before Admiral Janeway came on, it was the Daunt some, but like she was like, get all that Daunt off my ship.
I will not serve on a ship that has any Daunt whatsoever.
If we're going to find Chakotay, there needs to be not a speck of Daunt on this ship.
You know, I don't like, we are like, we have made a massive volume of records saying that we do not care for Chakotay. Like, I think
that is correct.
I think the record speaks very strongly about that. But as an object of, like, Janeway's just looking for him. If he's just a picture in a locket and we never see him, that'd be great. She's like, I'm going to find my former first officer, and that's it. Like,
somewhere
it's not the character.
There is Chakotay.
He's just a symbol. He's just an object. He's not a character. That's that perfect use of that character.
Mm-hmm. It's exactly what he was here for. Because you can literally just use the cardboard sign that they would use in many episodes of Voyager for him.
Yeah, exactly. Like, oh, negotiations are breaking down with Beltran. Well, get out the standee. It's fine.
Yep.
It's getting a little creased. Like, we folded it up to store it, and you can tell. It's fine.
It started falling over in key scenes. We've had to lean it up against Harry Kim.
Also, somebody on the production staff sweetened up the face tattoo with a Sharpie, and it looks really good, but compared to the rest of it, which is faded, now it's just tattoo and not Chakotay at all now.
The Chakotay or the tattoo is real crisp. Like, you can see it from anywhere on the ship at this point.
Mm-hmm. But people were like, we couldn't find the face, so we couldn't really do anything about that, because it's, you know.
Just drew in a smiley face.
Yeah, good enough.
That's not Chakotay. He doesn't smile like that.
I don't think he smiles at all, does he?
I don't think so.
I have no idea.
I gotta get Chakotay back.
I guess so. What's your good thing about this episode?
So I have been to two Trek in the Parks in my life with a hope to do more eventually. I live in Portland, so you'd think that that would happen more regularly. And this episode really speaks to that sort of fan specifically. Mm-hmm. Like, there's that genuine love for classic Trek here, but without it being just pointing and waving at Wrath of Khan or whatever, like, you know, every episode of Lower Decks, except that would have been TNG, because that was what they cared about. Mm-hmm. And, like, I actually really love Dal looking at these guys and going, we're not really that different. We're also just pretending to be Starfleet. Like,
yeah,
it's really great stuff all around. Also, like, it's a thing we talk about a lot. It's great. It's a great take on Starfleet affecting these planets that it's been to. Like, it reminded me a lot of, like, what would happen at the end of the Gangster Planet episode when Bones left his communicator behind.
Okay, so there was, and actually, Memory Alpha backs me up on this, but my first thought was, oh, this was one of the original ideas for Trials and Tribulations. What they were going to do for their TOS tribute episode was, we go back to that planet, and because Bones left his stuff behind, they worship Starfleet now. And it would be a whole meta thing, and they decided not to do that. And they basically did that here. And, like, it's not a bad idea to pick up and do, and it's probably better on this lighter kids show where it's also only going to be about 20 minutes, because I feel like a full hour of this taken seriously wouldn't be as good.
Yeah, no.
But
no, they really, you don't need us to tell you that they really nailed Trials and Tribulations.
Yeah, of course they did. But they had a really good writing staff who pitched other ideas who were pretty that were pretty good. Like,
yeah,
even the stuff they didn't use sometimes was like, well, that could have been nice. Wonder what would have happened with that. My bad thing, it ties into this. I think Lower Decks ruined me for meta. Like,
that's fair.
If we'd done this series first, I would have enjoyed it a lot more. But it's like, oh, not this again. I think it's because the guy comes out doing his, I am Captain Kirk. Like, okay, buddy, please don't.
Yeah, that was, I could have done without that.
Like, but, I know, you know, that was the joke. And the joke was they got a bunch of the names wrong because basically a telephone game over 100 years. They got some of it. And like, it's cute, but, you know. Like, they do the, oh, go ahead.
I thought Starflight was cute.
Starflight was cute. When they did the Vulcan salute wrong, I thought that was cute.
Yep.
They do the two middle fingers together and the two outer fingers, outside of that. And I thought, like, oh, that's wrong. And it took my brain a minute to realize why it's, fingers are wrong. Okay.
Yep.
But, like, at first it's like, oh, they know that. Wait, no, they don't know the thing. So a lot of it was cute, but it's like, I've seen this. Those guys, like, those guys ruin everything, and this is one of them. That's all.
Mm-hmm. No, I get it. Fucking Lower Decks, your list of crimes is so long.
Yes, it's incredibly long. I mean, the thing is, I still mostly enjoyed the episode, and for a lot of the reasons you said, a lot of the tone reasons, and a lot of the character, like it, because this resonated with Dal, and he's like, oh, yeah. We are also a bad copy of that, but we want to get better. Why don't we all try to get better together? And like, it was nice.
And it's just, it's getting back to, like, this is the type of, like, fan thing I actually like, where it's like, yes, the actual passion that fans have had for this show, which is why it stuck around for so long. Like, this that feels like it's in the DNA of this episode.
Instead of, like, tired jokes or, like, you know, like, making everything dark and serious.
Yeah, or just recycling the same bullshit over and over again. Like,
These guys zagged when I expected them to zig a number of times. Like, they revered the red shirt because that's what Garavik wore. And instead of making, oh, red shirts, they always die, they didn't make that joke. Instead, it was
I fully expected that.
Yeah. Instead, it was the guy we met, the guy that we love, who told us about all this cool stuff, wore this red shirt. So it's important to us. Like, okay, good.
And not making him like a dude that we've heard of, you know, like, he's telling them all these stories, but like the dude who was in one episode and I can't remember which one, you know?
Oh, fuck. I had it on the tip of my tongue and it's gone.
It's on the Memory Alpha article.
Yeah, hang on. I'm looking it up now.
Yeah. But like, you know, the fact that it's not just some dude I saw the red shirt statue and I'm like, oh, they built a statue to Scotty. No, it's some dude I've never heard or I've heard of one time. Like, that's kind of cool, too.
He was in Obsession, which was the substandard version of the Doomsday Machine that was Kirk as the obsessed guy.
Yes. Yeah, I remember that now.
Yep.
The cloud that killed this planet or whatever.
Yep.
Cloud.
I also got a vibe from these guys, like the episode of Avatar The Last Airbender. Near the end of the series where they've been on enough adventures that people are starting to treat them as folk heroes and they're doing a play about them. And the bulk of the episode is them sitting through this play that is the most exaggerated and ridiculous. Like, I'm tough because I'm tough.
I love that.
Yep. And of course, the Mr. B natural version of Aang, who's unsettlingly hot.
Yep.
Definitely reminded me a bit of that.
The Zuko who dies in fire and goes, honor!
Yep.
And Zuko's just in the crowd just going, I don't say honor all the time.
it did make me wonder, though, like imagining the target audience, like the kid who's, this is their first trek. Like,
yeah.
thinking original series is just like this and misquoting stuff to their parent or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like,
yep.
it's like you getting your references firsthand from The Simpsons.
Yep.
Yeah, this is probably what it was exactly like.
It also, like, the bad Shatner impression especially, it reminded me of when I used to watch, like, Animaniacs and stuff when I was a kid, and it would be, like, them making fun of actors I'd never heard of from, like, the 40s or whatever.
Yep. Well, I mean, what Animaniacs and I think Tiny Toons as well was trying to do was that Looney Tunes thing of, like, they would make fun of the guys from the 40s, and these shows would try to make fun of guys you'd heard of, like, Jack Nicholson and Roseanne Barr or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Time to roll out
another Jack Nicholson impression.
I hope every character sounds like Rain Man for like 10 years.
God, I was just thinking about that this week.
Mm-hmm. Every like, single Jesus. Show had a Rain Man character. Definitely.
Everyone had a Rain Man impression. Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. I did like, so they get to the shuttle and it's sort of balanced precariously there, and they're like, you can't just bumble into that thing and try to fix it, it'll collapse. And Jenkin Pog just goes, yeah, fuck that. And he's like he's so frustrated because earlier in the episode he's been trying to disarm that weapon, and he's like, I can't fix anything, I am so frustrated, like, I'm an engineer, my job is to fix stuff.
Yeah,
I can't fix it. If I can't fix this, then what's the point, man?
Yep.
And like, oh, I've been there, dude.
Mm-hmm.
I just need a win. I enjoyed that.
Yeah. I really hope we're getting an episode coming up with him and Rock Talk just being like, I'm really annoyed that you got smarter than me.
They've like, touched I kinda on that
wanna,
a bit.
I want to see that.
We got that a bit in the mid-season finale, where you guard the door and I'll fix the thing. What if we switch?
Yep.
What was your bad thing?
Clean up your abandoned shuttle, Starfleet. Jesus Christ.
I mean, they're just shuttles.
I would have said that too, except that apparently it was leaking fucking plasma into the water supply.
Well, the thing is, the thing we always said when the Maquis would go on and on about it and not having a planet is there are so many planets.
Like, yeah, you can get another planet.
Yeah, so what my point is, like, there's, you know, the Enterprise visited hundreds and hundreds of worlds. Every starship visited hundreds and hundreds of worlds. Like, there's tens of thousands of worlds. You're not going to remember which one you accidentally parked your car on. You get too much shit going on, you know?
I'm going to say if the Galileo crashed again, if I was Kirk, I'd be like, all right, let's go get it.
Yeah, but you know, the shuttles crash all the time. That is true.
That is true.
Every Star Trek series. I bet the Galileo crashed, you know, 50 times during its lifetime. That's just part of it.
The Galileo 7 crashes.
Yep. The thing is, that's shuttles. Every time any episode of any series opens with two or three characters on a shuttle or a runabout, you know they're inevitably going to crash on a planet together.
Mm-hmm.
That's just one of those Star Trek things.
It's like the X-Men flying over the Savage Land.
Mm-hmm. Why would you even go there? Oh, let's just is not a Quinjet, that's the Avengers. What are those guys?
The Blackbird.
Right. Let's just go where all the dinosaurs are, you idiot.
It's like, I get the first time wanting to go and look at dinosaurs, but like every time after that, when did it ever end well?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we wanted to go look at dinosaurs and cavemen. Why?
But then again, there's like a seventh or eighth Jurassic Park movie, so people want to look at dinosaurs real bad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, despite the constant disasters.
Mm-hmm. No, we want to look at more dinosaurs. Oh. And now we're making up dinosaurs for people to look at, because I guess dinosaurs aren't cool enough.
Well, I mean, they're fucking birds now. But,
yeah.
You know. All right. Anything else?
Go look at a bird. Go to an aviary.
Mm-hmm. Anything else about this
one? Get pooped on. Let me just check my... I don't think so. No.
All right.
Did really want to see Val, though.
Really, though? Did you?
I mean, like, look, that episode sucked.
I was going to say, we hated that episode. Famously hated that episode. That was one of our... That was like one of our bottom 10, bottom 5, maybe.
No, no. It was a terrible episode. But if this episode had ended with, like, a CGI perfect recreation of that big stupid head with its three fangs breathing smoke, I would have had a great time.
You would have been so mad. Your bad thing for that version of the episode would have been still missing a fang.
Mm-hmm.
You were mad about it.
Where's this fang, Al?
I don't care. I don't care. All right.
This dragon statue has no symmetry. What the fuck? See,
that's what makes it a scary god and not just some rocks.
Mm.
I guess. I don't
You know what? That is true.
Yep.
Those are those bad angles that Lovecraft spoke of.
Yeah. See, we just talked about that last week.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Let's move on to an episode I was very disappointed was not about playing guitar with the devil. Mm. Crossroads.
I feel that way about every episode of every show I ever watch.
Mm-hmm. Since finding out that the Protostar contains a deadly Starfleet killing virus 2 weeks ago, the kids decide that now would be a good time to hide the ship somewhere safe and hitchhike to the Federation to tell them about it. Yes, now. Not right after they discovered the situation, but two adventures after that. In their defense, and this usually works for any particularly dumb decisions made in this show, they're kids, and they probably don't know any better. So they pack up their stuff, switch off Hologram Janeway, which is good, because leaving her on means you get Kate trails permanently burned into your monitor, and bury the ship in the snow. And I am stunned that Jenkum Pog doesn't try to write his name in that snow, because that absolutely feels like a thing he'd do. Then they head off on foot to the nearest town, which is this sort of shady oasis in the middle of an inhospitable... Okay, it's the Mos Eisley spaceport. Scum, villainy, and so on. Mm. On the way there, they meet a guy who is basically Han Solo, and oh shit, it's actually the so-called outrageous O'Connor from that one TNG episode where we complained about how not rageous he was. Dude must have gotten our letters, because now he has a cool eye patch, and also he does like four or five genuinely outrageous things in about a minute and a half without even turning to the camera to remind us of how outrageous he is. Showing and not telling. Good job, O'Connor. Meanwhile, Rail Janeway and her crew beam into the same settlement to find that guy who fled the space station a couple weeks ago. You know, the one Maggie referred to as a Danny DeVito alien. From Danny's accounts, they gradually piece together the story of the ruthless, cutthroat band of mercenaries that hijacked the Protostar. Also, several individual crew people bump into said mercenaries, foolishly believing that they're just silly, harmless little kids. Of particular delight to me personally was that Jason Alexander Tellarite doctor spending a full minute laughing at how tiny and pathetic Jenkum Pog is. Despite this, and a couple of equally undignified encounters, actual Janeway is convinced that these kids murdered Chakotay and need to be put down like, insert alien adjective, dogs. And since Kate is kind of terrifying when she gets like this, the kids very sensibly flee. A very Star Wars-y chase sequence ensues, and since copying Star Wars has been the key to his finally reaching true outrageousness, naturally O'Connor pops up again. He's swept up in the action as the gang return to the Protostar and take off, so I guess he's part of the crew now? As mid-series additions go, he's no Ensign Roe or Talin, but I suppose he'll do. The Dauntless is in hot pursuit, and soon we get another version of that big Tellarite laughing at the small Tellarite scene, as it becomes clear that the Dauntless is like 40 times the size of the Protostar. This is also very Star Wars, I suppose. So Dal orders the ship into the Romulan neutral zone, reasoning that since it's a neutral zone, and both the Federation and Romulans have equal claim to it, surely the Romulans wouldn't just immediately decloak and point all their weapons at us the second we crossed into said zone. Dal, I'm begging you, at the next relatively quiet moment, you gotta get down to the holodeck and watch some TNG episodes, which do exist in-universe according to Lower Decks.
They sure do.
Romulans got a Romulan.
Mm-hmm. This is Jenkum Pog is reminded of the unification episodes of Next Generation.
Oh God, Sayla's not going to show up, is she?
Oh God, I hope not. She might now at this point.
That would have been a good misdirect where we were waiting for her in Picard. She's got to show up in Picard because they're reuniting the whole gang and Tasha's dead. So the only way they get Denise Crosby back is to bring Sayla back. And no, instead they brought her over here.
Yeah.
No. But O'Connor, that was my good thing. Like, what? That was a hell of a pull.
That was a hell of a pull. Like, he shows up. I'm like, holy shit. Seriously?
And they got the dude. What's his name? Billy. The little Billy.
Billy.
Yeah, he played the Rocketeer.
Oh, not Billy Zane.
No.
Billy Rocketman. Billy Campbell, yes.
Yeah. Who, like, even back in the day when we complained about the outrageous, like, the episode, because he was just some guy that everyone said was great, who fell in love with Counselor Troy, blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
But we still liked him, and getting him back to do the voice was great. He did have a cameo in Lower Decks, but that was, like, a two-line thing. This is...
Yeah.
He's apparently sticking around for a minute, and, like... I think that's a good, like, just like last episode, I think when you tie things together to these secondary characters or these one-off guest stars, like, it's world building and it's reference without being tiresome.
Yeah, because they don't spend 20 minutes going, look, it's the outrageous O'Connor from the episode, The Outrageous O'Connor. Isn't he outrageous? You met Data.
And he doesn't once say, that time I met Picard's crew on the Enterprise. They don't, it's just... It's one of those, if you know, you know things. It's a cool reference if you get it. And if not, if you're just that hypothetical kid watching for the first time, I don't know. They met some space pirate. This is a standard stock character. I get who he is. I don't need to know his history. It's fine.
Well, and it's like, you know, if you do want to look him up and be like, oh, shit, there's a whole lot going on here. Like, that's a cool thing for kids to do.
Yes. But also, you don't have to. You can just enjoy it. You know, in and of itself, like, I never like when those references require you to do homework. That's going back to the X-Men. That's why I always had a problem reading those comics. It's like, I don't have the encyclopedic knowledge, and I was reading them before I could look shit up on Wikipedia. So,
yes,
I would get hopelessly lost and give up. But, like, if it's written organically and smoothly, you know, it's nice if you know, and if not, it still works. And again, having a grown-up who's a little shady to help these guys out or hinder them. I don't know what he's going to do yet. Like, but just to be around is an interesting idea.
Yeah.
And I like the character model too.
I want to see where this goes. Yes. He looks great.
Yeah. He's got an eye patch. He's got the silver fox thing going.
Yeah.
Like, got the beard and the gray in his hair, and he looks good.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it was cool to see him.
Yeah. No, I really enjoyed that.
Yeah. What was your good thing?
What was my good thing? I like those Starfleet duffel coats everybody's wearing with the hoods.
Oh, yeah.
I'm that kind of nerd who's always just like, oh, yeah, show me a variation on this, please.
Well, and I've always, like, from the earliest times, been a fan of the uniform with the jacket.
Yep. That's a good look.
Yeah. Like, I liked Picard's when he was, like, the only one with one. And then when they did the redesigns with the gray uniforms, they all had them. Like, I don't know.
We're going out into a...
We're
going out into a snow level, so get the snow trooper variant of the uniform out.
Damn
everyone
it,
get your hoods up.
That's the scout trooper. We're not going to the woods.
It's Does that look like the woods? No. We don't need the fold-up masks. We need the pull-down mask. Jesus Christ, I can't take you people anywhere. God, mom's really mad.
Well, she needs to find Chakotay, I guess. All right.
These winter winds have blown the cardboard cutout away. I need him here now.
Why do you need him exactly?
It's weird. Shut up.
All right, let's get into your bad thing.
So this is another episode of TV where someone just going, hey, can I talk to you for 5 minutes would solve a lot of problems. Instead, we get three different crew members, meaning three different Starfleet officers, and no one among any of them can have an actual conversation. That drives me crazy.
It's like, really contrived in this particular state.
It is.
Like Dal is face to face with real Janeway and just goes, you're Janeway, and then locks up. Like, come on, man.
Yeah. Like, I've talked about this before. The idea of them not being able to contact Starfleet because that's how the virus on the ship spreads is a cool idea.
Yeah,
you guys are face to face now.
I asked this out loud a couple weeks ago, and they address it. They say, yeah,
yes.
Any kind of electronic contact would fuck them up. So, okay, yeah. I get it. But yeah,
which is cool.
Here is the, like, there's no doubt. This isn't just some Starfleet rando like you met at that station. Mm. This is Janeway. You know who this is.
Yes. And just, like, the Jenkin Pog one where the two Tellarites, like.
I thought that was cute. Like I said in my summary, I like that scene, and I get the, because they're the way they are, because they're Tellarites, they got so wrapped up in their shit talk that they forgot they had a point, and like that's okay, but the rest of it.
Yeah, well, then we get to Gwyn and I can't remember her name, but she's the one that's played by Jameela Jamil.
Mm-hmm. Is Jameela Jamil doing an American accent, which is why I didn't spot her for the longest time. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
Ugh, I love her.
Ascensia.
Yes.
Is the character.
But she, like, then they have a conversation, and the Ascensia, thank you, like, recognizes, like, oh, shit, you're Gwyn. Your dad's on our ship. Like, we need to talk. And Gwyn's like, fuck, my dad's here? Shit, I thought that guy was dead. Goodbye forever. I'm like, all right, well, that's annoying, but okay, fine. But we get to the Dal Janeway conversation, and I'm like, okay, finally, we can do this now. We have one of the most competent people in Starfleet, and okay, you're not great, but you're doing better.
But the self-proclaimed captain, so he should be talking captain to captain, I guess.
You're doing better, and you know you can trust Janeway. Hologram Janeway has told you that to your face. Like, we can actually... Oh, you're gone. Okay, fucking great. We're not doing anything this week.
No. No, I was very disappointed.
And I get that the going forward, we're going to have... like Janeway making more and more assumptions about what these kids are, and like, I have to find them. They probably killed Chakotay or whatever. And like, that's the drama that we're doing, and that's fine. But like, this episode makes all of that so annoying because, like, guys, just all you need to do is say, hey, let me talk to you for 5 minutes and explain what the fuck's going on around here.
Yeah. In fact, there's Hologram Janeway probably carries the virus. I was going to say, she could explain it better than I could.
Mm-hmm.
But
that's actually interesting, and that didn't occur to me until you said it, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, if Hologram Janeway is here, although I like the idea of regular Janeway hating Hologram Janeway.
Of course.
It's just like, ugh.
But I'm you. No, you're not. It's like when Rimmer duplicated himself.
Yeah, exactly. It's just, oh, I can't. I didn't want them to do this, but like, I had to, and I don't want these.
There's a bit when they switch off Hologram Janeway and she says, let's not say goodbye. And I was just like, is she going to say Twala?
That would have been great.
Uh-huh.
Twala, dregs.
But yeah, I don't like we haven't liked this collectively as a device in TV for the entire time we've been reviewing TV shows. Wacky misunderstanding. That's a Three's Company episode. That's not actual drama.
That has made me annoyed since I watched Three's Company as a kid. Like,
but at least that's the form of comedy. If you don't like it, you don't like it. But that is the point of that show is it's farce. It's crazy misunderstandings. But
if you go into Three's Company, you're like, why don't you people talk? It's like, well, sweetie, like, I don't think you realize what we're doing here.
Stanley, he's not even gay. God, real quick sidetrack. This has nothing to do with anything. I recently read a book called One's Company about.
Oh, shit. Our friend's been talking about that one.
Yep. That's why I read it. And it's about a woman who wins the lottery, like wins crazy amounts of money in the lottery, and basically just builds herself Three's Company that she can live in and wants everyone to leave her alone. And it's real bleak and sad and depressing. It's not fun at all. It's if you like that kind of thing, it's delightful.
Oh, shit. I do like that kind of thing.
And it has some shit to say about fandom where it's like, I don't want to talk to the other fans because this is mine. And I don't want to hear their opinions because then it's they're wrong. It's like, oh, yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I've definitely had days like that.
Same.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. Got some other good Jenkin Pog stuff in this episode. We got him like arguing with the Tellarite doctor, like I said. But we also,
I love that.
When they run into O'Connor, he's like, yeah, I got a ship that can help you. It goes warp 4. Did Jenkin just loses his shit? He thinks his ship is fast. Oh, it's so good.
The bit later in the episode when they're on the ship and he's like, we're going warp 9.4.
Yeah. This is actually fast.
Shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Muffin. He thought he had a fast ship.
Mm-hmm.
But the Kessel Run and don't. No one cares about the Kessel Run here.
Look, you can evoke Han Solo, but you need to not just, yeah.
We don't have a Kessel. Leave us alone.
Mm-hmm. And no, there's no Moof milkers here.
Oh, thank God.
Yep. Let's see. Oh, when they're running around the fake Mos Eisley, someone described, it was the Danny DeVito alien, described Dal as having a creepy dingle dangle off the back of his neck.
Boy, he sure does.
Yeah, but that was his exact phrasing, a creepy dingle dangle.
I really appreciated that someone else in this show, someone in the actual show was like, that thing's nasty. I'm like, yeah, it is nasty. I hate it.
I don't think it's nasty. I think it's dumb character design that is like, look, look, this is a crazy, rebellious, like, little punk rock kid. No, he's not. Jesus Christ.
No. No, it's nasty, and it's, I'm sure it's getting longer.
Mm-hmm. Oh, another interesting continuity pull. Again, they did not shine a big light on it. It's just, if you got it, you got it. The aliens that are hassling Okana are Reptiloid Zindi.
Reptiloid Zindi, thank you.
I think they were reptiloids or maybe insects.
They were insects, Zindi, but like...
They might be. But either way, they're one of the Zindi.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like, you know, we hated Enterprise and just about everything in it, but that was not a bad idea for an alien thing. Like, they had different species that all existed in one sort of empire, and like, it's cool to see them pop up again.
That's the thing. Like, I thought the things that they did in Enterprise were stupid, but like, if the Zindi show up in other stuff, like, I'm not gonna be mad about it.
We'll see. I don't know.
Yeah.
If Disco had done them, they'd been even stupider. Probably.
That is definitely true. But like if the Kazon show up in this, I'm going to have a great time making fun of them.
Oh, of course, of course. Let's see what else. Oh, my bad thing. I hate Murph's new form, which I assume is his Pokemon evolution. He's got legs now. He's like a guy.
Well, he's not even got... He evolves into a baby. Like, he's a baby now.
Yeah.
And I don't like the idea... First of all, I don't like babies.
Okay.
Just in general. Secondly, like, I don't like the idea that weird, like, maggot evolves into weird baby. Like, shouldn't he evolve into, like, I don't know, Murph Moth?
I have no idea. I don't Pokemon. I wish it would Pokemon go away. Don't laugh at that. That was terrible. But, yeah, it's just, like... We've talked about this now, like during this show, but also we talked about this through the entirety of Brave and the Bold when we were covering that show. Like, if you make things toyetic, as they say, where are the toys?
Yes. Oh, it's so toyetic. Yeah.
If you look up Murph in Memory Alpha, there is a picture of the way he looks now wearing a Starfleet uniform.
Mm-hmm. Ugh.
Like, that's the main image for the character.
Ugh, I don't want this either.
No, but presumably that implies, without really getting into specific spoilers, that implies he's evolving into more recognizable sentience.
I don't like this. I liked him better as the class pet.
Yeah, just bring your dog along. I didn't like that either, but...
That's fine. Yeah. Of the two options, I'd rather have class pet than, like... little guy.
I think what you're strongly reacting to is the whole Slimer of it.
That's true.
Oh, start talking like this now.
Oh, God. No. I have very passionate feelings about Slimer.
Yeah, oh, I know. That's why I said that.
Uh-huh.
I'm well aware.
Don't you want to watch Slimer and the Real Ghostbusters? No! I want to watch the fucking Real Ghostbusters!
Uh-huh. Might as well watch the show with the fucking gorilla at this point.
Oh, God. I hated that show, too. But I did watch it because I thought there was some tie there.
Yep, I know.
Because I didn't know the two main guys' names. I'm like, is that Peter and Ray?
Sure.
I guess they have a gorilla, which is a terrible replacement for...
Egon?
Winston and Egon.
Mm-hmm. All right. What else? Well, oh, I liked when they returned to the Protostar and turned hologram Janeway back on. She's like, "How long was I out?
Tell me of your adventures."
An hour. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she was excited to get the tape measure out because as kids, they would have all grown.
Yep.
But
yep,
they were not gone very long.
Well, and I like the episode starts with them like getting ready to shut her off. And she's like, "I don't know how long it'll be before I see you again, but I will mm-hmm. see you again, my friends."
Yep.
My
we
beautiful
will find
little
ourselves
adopted
across the river of time. Okay. And then they come right back.
Somewhere out there.
Sorry, we just popped in for some snacks. Let's get back on the road.
It was too cold out there. We came back in. Can you make us crackers?
Also, I guess it was the previous episode. But that was also a bit snowy. There was a shot of the planet in orbit that looked just gorgeous. Like usually you just see sort of the color of the planet, but they had like surface details and like, oh, very good.
I mean, this show continues to like to the point where we don't even need to talk about it. Like, I mean,
I like to bring up specific things.
But like the show is just so consistently beautiful.
Yep. And the people doing that clearly care. Like they clearly have been given the chance to work on a Star Trek show and want to do their absolute best to do that.
Just any of those shots of the Protostar just drifting over anything. And I'm just like, yep, that's my wallpaper for this week.
I was going through I was skimming through the episode for my summary and looking for a cover image. And the shot near the end of this episode with the Romulan warbirds and there's like a nebula behind them. It's just beautiful. Like I would buy a print of that.
Yeah. Those warbirds translate really well to the animation style for this. Like they decloak and I'm just like, yes.
But they also, the show goes out of its way to make the space look interesting. So it's not just black behind them. There's always, and like, I know that's a bit unrealistic. There's not like nebula clouds behind everything always, but
sure.
It looks cool.
Yeah. I like that, you know, like, like I know that most of space is just black and empty and whatever, but no, show us the cool stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. There were way too many people talking about butts in this one, though.
Oh, God. Yeah, Jenkinpog says, "Hold on to your butts" twice in this episode. Mm-hmm. And it's annoying both times.
Yep.
I'm like, did you watch Jurassic Park recently? Like, are you me parroting quotes from a movie you just watched last night?
Or maybe he just discovered Tina Belcher?
Oh, maybe.
Yeah.
I would love
it. Jenkinpog is also a fan of butts.
Jenkinpog really likes Bob's Burgers.
Jenkinpog hopes one day to meet his own Jimmy Jr. All right.
I hate Jimmy Jr.
Anything else? I do too.
That's it.
But imagining him sympathizing with Tina means, you know.
Yep.
All right. So nothing else?
No, I think that's it.
All right. Still enjoying the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just like this has been such a breath of fresh air after Lower Decks. I like this show so much.
It has. Yeah, and we're going to be doing Strange New Worlds after that, which at its highs is some of the best Trek since it came back. Yep. At its lows, not so much, but like, you know, it's uneven, I would say.
Mm.
But I would say since we came back, it was like two shows that really frustrated us. Like a shitty season of Picard followed by a decent one. A shitty season of Disco followed by a good one followed by a shitty one again.
Mm-hmm.
And then Lower Decks. So like, at least now for a while, we're going to have a good time, which is good.
Yeah. No, I'm like, I had to do my episodes yesterday and I was like, yes, I get to watch more. I get to watch more Prodigy.
I think the thing that strikes me the most is how quickly the episodes are over. And it's not that they're short because we just covered Lower Decks. Like we're still doing an hour of television for you every week. Mm. It's just instead of two episodes, or instead of one episode, it's two. But these fly by. Like they really know how to pace an episode. So it's not like, ugh, how much is left? Like I'm never checking the time.
Well, and
Lower Decks I was.
Yeah. Well, like, they're jam-packed, too. Like, they use that that 22 minutes or whatever,
yeah.
You know?
Some of the action sequences are still a little dull, but they go by quickly.
That's fair. But, like you know.
The chase out of the fake Mos Eisley was like, ugh, okay.
No, I know those action sequences aren't, like, your favorite in anything. But, like, you know, they're fun, and they're not long.
That's true. All right, let's see. Next week, we will be doing Masquerade, which surely has come up as an episode title before. Mm-hmm. Surely. And Preludes. Both of those sound like shitty Voyager titles, but who knows?
Yep. But we will see.
The website is ever postatomichorror.com. If you want to write to us, it is postatomichorror@gmail. Patreon, if you are donating, thank you. If not, that's okay too, but you still can, and you can get episodes way ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
You could be listening 13 weeks ahead of everybody else. It is patreon.com/Algar. All you got to do is give us a buck. If you want to give more, that's great. And there is additional content there. There is new Nick and Willikins going up there.
Yeah.
And I've been considering, I'm back on my doing reviews of the old Gem cartoon bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like a week ahead on those. And I think I'm thinking of maybe dropping those early to the Patreon as well if people are interested in that.
Oh, cool. Yeah. No, I saw that. I saw you had one go up.
I have three now, and more on the way. Like I'm, nice. I think I'm finally back in the groove. So,
oh, that's awesome.
Cool. Yeah. All right. So, yeah, I think that's all for this time.
Yeah. See you, folks.
Twala drags.
The Postatomic Horror Podcast is a co-production of Maggie Robotham and Ron Algar Watt. Copyright 2025. Please don't sue us. We're just doing this for fun.